Hola amigos, and welcome to Willie's View Podcast. Today is February 18th, 2019. Happy President's Day. And I'm so excited because today I have Medium / author, Rob Guttrow. All right, hang on. Here we go.
Hello.
Hello, good morning, Rob.
Well, good morning. How are you?
Good, and you?
I'm pretty well, thanks.
How's the family, and how's your dog doing?
Everybody's good.
Oh, you say that lightly. Does that mean everybody's getting over the weather?
We won't get over the weather until the spring arrives.
Yeah, it's kind of cold out here, too. We're in South Texas over here, so it's, you know how South Texas is so unpredictable? It rains,
yes.
And then it stops, and then you're fine, and then it's sunny, and, you know, it's South Texas. You never know what to expect.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, let's get started on you. Like, so the audience can get a refresher course. Tell them a little bit about what you do.
Okay. Well, I'm a, my name is Rob Guttrow. I'm an author. I'm a medium and a paranormal investigator. I've written 5 books about my experiences with both people and pets in the afterlife. I have distinguished between the entities, a ghost is earthbound and a spirit has crossed over. So, and I've been doing this for about probably 10 years, although I've had this ability since I was a kid.
And just to remind everybody that Rob was a guest on our first season of the podcast, and it was so enlightening. I swear, Rob, that was the highest rated listening podcast that everyone just couldn't get enough of.
Oh my gosh, I'm honored. Thank you.
My sister loved your podcast too, so yeah. Your ears should have been ringing that day. I always enjoy having you. It's always fun. So let's jump into your new visit. We're going to be talking about pets today, right?
Sure. We can talk about pets in the afterlife, or we can talk about ghosts of England, anything you want to talk about.
Yeah, let's cover the pets, because we did the ghosts of England, as you recall. We did that the first time when you came by.
Very good.
All right, so what can we, as pet owners, prepare ourselves for involving the pet afterlife? Because I know I've lost pets throughout my life, and you know, it's interesting what you're telling us here, that that they have messages for us.
Well, they do. They like to let us know that they are still very much around us after they pass away. And they do it in a number of different ways, which we can get into. But the reason that they want to let us know that they're around is that often we, we can't get through or get past our grief very easily after our pet passes. So they want to reassure us that they're still very much around.
And I know myself, being a pet owner, that they're just part of the family. So to them, it's like they're just as human as anyone else. So what can prevent a pet from actually passing on to, you know, their next journey?
What can prevent a pet from passing on?
Yeah, is there like, is, you know, like sometimes you can hear like there's like the feeling of a ghost or an entity, around us, like when we're, you know, we're missing that pet or that, you know, the loved one that we lost. Is there something that occurs that makes them want to be able to try to stay longer, or is that just because they need to relay that message that you were trying to talk about? Is that all part? It's all connected, right?
Yes. So once they're in spirit, once they pass away, the spirit of the pet will only stay for a little while, just to let us know that they're okay, and then they will move on. They'll come back though from time to time when we think about them, or on birthdays, anniversaries, and holidays. And the reason they do that is because, just like people, they know that those are special days. So if you have lost a dog, Willie, look for signs from your dog around their birthday. They'll usually provide some kind of sign, whether it's a noise or whether they lead you to another dog that looks like that dog that passed away, or something like that.
And that means a lot, just hearing it from you, because I did lose a dog a couple years ago, and it's a beautiful little dog, and her name was Gigi, and she was just, you know, so active, but unfortunately, she just was one of those pets that she had like a rough time, and she wasn't gonna make it. So I still miss her, but it's interesting when you talk about that they have like these little messages. Can you give us an example of maybe something from your experience of helping others? Like, what kind of message did someone give from, like, did they hear, like, from a pet that maybe had a profound effect on their life, or to help them understand about the loss of a pet?
Sure, there are a number of examples that I can give you.
Okay.
In both my books, Pets in the Afterlife and Pets in the Afterlife 2, I write about all the different ways that pets can communicate, and I include stories that are messages that I received from someone's pet, and messages that people, pet parents, received from their pet directly, so without a medium. So recently, a friend of mine lost his cats, and he wanted to know... And he was away on vacation. He wanted to know what happened to his cat, why his cat passed away suddenly, and who, you know, anything that his cat can tell me from the other side. So I learned from his cat, his cat's name is Buddy, I learned from his cat that he had acute kidney failure. And that's what happened when he passed. Buddy also told me that he was with a man named Dave, and he was very clear to say that Dave is the same age as my friend. So I sent that note to my friend, who lives, he lives in Florida, and this is a friend that I met years ago on the radio, and we've met in person only once, so I don't know a lot about it, but anyway, he confirmed to me that when he was in college, he had a friend named Dave who passed away at a young age, and he was blown away to hear that message that his cat Buddy was with his friend Dave in spirit.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, and that's so sad, losing a cat. I can imagine how that feels, because I've lost some pets too down the line. So I've got a question for you. Like, being a medium and as paranormal as well, can you give us like an idea of what it's like for you, that, let's say, like the most challenging part of being a medium, where someone's doubting you? How do you go as far as to kind of show them that you're real and not just, you know, someone just making something up? Not that you would, but you know, there's people out there that do. So as a medium, how do you take on that challenge as, you know, an individual?
That's a very good question. And the answer to that is because I don't try anything. I have nothing to gain whatsoever. So, you know, people send me emails from around the world every week asking me to get in touch with their pet, and I do on my own time. So, you know, sometimes they have to wait a while, but I don't charge them anything. So there's nothing in it for me. And a number of these people will hear, you know, they'll hear me on interviews like on your podcast or any other interviews I do. And it's not that they've bought and read my books. So there's no benefit to me. I just do it to help people.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And how long have you been doing this?
10 years. So, my puppy Buzz passed in 2005, and he became the world's best canine communicator from the afterlife, and he inspired me to write my very first book so that I can help people understand how pets communicate.
Oh, that's beautiful. I like that. So is there, have there been any times that, you know, just as yourself being a medium, that you just feel that's is overwhelming, and sometimes you just think of it more instead of a gift, maybe a curse? Or is it always a gift? How do you feel about that?
I look at it as a gift. Any way that I can help people is a good thing. I will tell you, though, that other people have the gift and they're afraid to use it. My own mother had the gift, and she was afraid to use it. She was scared. She said she didn't want to talk to people who were dead. But yet, you know, whenever I did, she always asked me all the details.
Aww.
It's kind of funny.
So it's cute how you have that connection with your, you know, with your mom like that. Like, even though that maybe she was scared, did she know that you had that coming in you, or... how did that come about? Did you deal with that as a kid too? That as being a medium now, was that like part of a bigger destiny for you, or where did that come into play?
That really started when I was 13 years old, and I was a teenager. I saw my grandfather appear to me 6 months after he died, and he appeared in full color, and it freaked me out. And when I told my mom afterwards, she wasn't surprised, because she had the ability, and that's when I learned that. So as I went through life, from time to time, I would get messages, but I was very distracted, you know, trying to find a career and a, you know, place to live and all this stuff.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I got settled, you know, that I started paying more attention, and my puppy passed away, and he opened the door for everything. So it came over time, and it will do that for other people too, for your listeners. If you're sensitive now, as soon as you get settled in your life, then you'll start getting more clarity in the messages.
And how does that work with the I didn't put it on the promo because I don't want everybody emailing you like crazy. But if you want to tell the audience a little bit, how does that work with you, where they would kind of email you and you would give them a little bit of, like what you said, that maybe there's like a message that they haven't heard of from their beloved pet? How does that all work?
Okay, sure. So what people who can go on my website, they can get my email there, and they can send me a picture of their pet and their name, the name of the pet, and ask me any questions, and I can try and connect and get an answer for them. Like I said, I get a lot of emails, you know, and it takes my free time, my family time, so I get to them when I get to them. But the most important thing is that people need to be aware of how their pets communicate. And like I said, that's why I wrote the two books, to teach people that they don't need a medium. They can look themselves. And I can give you kind of a laundry list of some of the things that people can look for if you wish.
Oh, yes. Feel free. Enlighten us.
Okay. Very good. Well, so of course... way for spirits to communicate with us is through dreams. So if you have had a dream of a loved one, a person, or a pet, that's the easiest way that they can let us know that they're okay. And usually, they'll show us themselves in a normal setting, maybe in the house, or maybe a nice peaceful setting like a field or something like that. So dreams are the easiest way. And before people go to bed, they can ask their dog or cat or person to come into their dreams at night, and eventually they will. So that's the most popular way and the easiest way for a pet to come through to us. But other ways include pets getting physical. So you can hear their nails on the floor, you can hear collars jingle, you can hear a bark or a meow. And usually if you hear something like an audible sound, it always sounds like it's coming from another room. And that's because spirits are in basically in another dimension. It takes a lot of energy for them to make that noise. So have you ever encountered something like that?
Not as far as on the pet situation, but as you do recall, I did have that incident when I was younger, and my dad was in the Army, and we move a lot. But there was a specific house that had this this noise and this vibe that I was getting off of it. It felt like I wasn't alone. It felt like there was something there. Which brings me to my next question for you is, what is the difference between a ghost and a spirit?
That is actually, that was actually the foundation of my very first book. And I'm glad you asked that question. So what happens is after we die, the energies that are within us, the physical energies, couple with our memories, personality, and our knowledge, just like it does with a pet or an animal.
Mm-hmm.
And we make a choice. We decide to stay here on Earth, earthbound, which I call a ghost. For those entities that cross over, they join the light or the afterlife or go through the tunnel and go to heaven or Valhalla, whatever you want to call it. That's what I call a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about location. So earthbound entities are ghosts. Spirits are the ones who have crossed over.
Oh, wow, that's really good to know. So definitely I'll be posting your information so that people can check out your website. But I will tell our listeners that please be respectful and don't just email them. And we talked about this, remember, Rob, the first time when I got to interview you. Don't email them every day asking them for a message.
Yeah, that's
please don't. Rob Wright, please don't do that.
Just prefer to give one answer per person, because there are,
And I'm going to show you my sincerity right now. I've enjoyed just getting to get to know Rob just a little bit, and it's amazing, this personality just shines. But I have not yet to get a message from either from my husband that I've lost now over a few years ago, and even my beloved pet, which is Gigi, a beautiful dog. So that just shows that, not that I'm not going to get a message from Rob, it's just I'm not ready to get that message just yet. But this just shows to the listeners that I respect Rob, that I'm not going to email him every day asking him, can you please give me a message? Can you please give me a message? You have to do it right. Because if you abuse it, then how do you know that you're going to get the right message if you're pressuring him? Right, Rob?
That's absolutely right. And, spirits don't come on command. I mean, they only come to us when they have something to tell us. So that's another thing to keep in mind. And I've had to actually tell some people that were in the paranormal group that I belong to that it's not like calling somebody on a telephone. It really isn't. Someone in the paranormal group I belong to lost her mother, and she emailed me and she said, I need to hear from my mother. I need to find out if she's okay and so forth. So I gave her a couple messages, and she understood what they meant. They were very personal messages to her. So she emailed me 2 days later, and she said, I wanted to ask my mother if I should apply for this job. And I'm like, that's not how it works.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah.
And then she emailed me again and she said, I wanted to know if my mother thinks that I should buy this color drapes. And I'm like, okay, I have to stop you right there because I'm not your I'm not your telephone. And spirits only want to convey something that's important.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, so she, you know, she kind of took advantage of me, and I just had to say, okay, it doesn't work that way. I know how painful it is to lose somebody. I've lost, you know, most of my family has passed on.
Yeah.
And I've lost several pets too. So, of course we want to talk to them, but we have to understand that they're in a different place. And they are around us, guiding us. So,
but you have to respect the borderline. You have to respect the guidelines. It's not meant to be manipulated.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely, Willie. So that's a hard thing to tell people who are experiencing intense grief. And relative to that, I just want to let you know that the reason people experience intense grief with a pet is because pets have the intelligence of a 3 to 5 year old child. So no matter how old they are, if they're 8 years old when they pass or if they're 15 years old when they pass, we always look at them in our minds as a 3 to 5 year old child. And that's why it's so hard to deal with their loss.
You know, that's true. That's true, because I've got my little cat right now. It's Egypt, and it's amazing because it's just what you just said. It's the same thing. I see all pets as babies. That's just me.
Yeah.
Because they're adorable, and it hurts me, you know, of course, being a pet owner and just being an empathic person, but it hurts me more than anything when I'm hearing about, like, especially on Facebook where people post all these images of pets being harmed, and it's like, oh my goodness, how can people be so cruel? Because it's hurting me inside, because I'm like, you know, these are babies. You need to leave them alone.
Yeah, exactly. So for folks who are listening, Dr. Stanley Coren wrote a couple books called How... The intelligence of pets, dogs rather, and how dogs think. And that'll give people a good insight into the intelligence of dogs and cats. He uses dogs as a baseline. I also reference those books in my books, the Pets in the Afterlife books, to let people understand that animals really are like 3 to 5 year old children.
Yeah, I love pets. I may not get every single pet that I would love, but I love that they're just adorable God's creatures, and they're you know, they're just like us. They need to be respected. They need to be loved. They need to be cherished, and they need to be devoted. That's just how I feel about that. So can you give us like any humorous situations that may have occurred as being a medium of where you're relaying a message for someone as far as involving pets, and maybe something that occurred that you can share with us today?
Sure. There are a number of funny things that happened from the other side. First of all, we need to remember that our pets maintain their personalities on the other side. So that means if you had two dogs, for instance, mm-hmm. in your house,
yeah.
and one dog was very possessive of a certain toy and didn't want the other dog to play with it, they may even tell you that from the other side. And that very thing happened with another dog. In my Pets in the Afterlife 2 book, I wrote, I conveyed a story about this dog named Poopy. The dog's name was Poopy. He was a Chihuahua.
Okay.
So his pet parents, John and Diana, wrote me and said that their little Chihuahua had passed away, and they wanted to know how to get a message from him. So Poopy showed me a couple of things. By the way, I can't help but chuckle every time I say his name.
That is a cute name.
So here are the weird things that the messages that I got. First of all, Poopy described a woman to a T on the other side that he was with. So it was an older woman wearing short, wearing glasses, gray-white hair, blue dress, open sweater on the top, black shoes, and grandmother or great-grandmother. And the woman told me, not to worry, Poopy is safe. And it sounds like the woman has an accent. John wrote back and confirmed that in fact, was his mother on the other side with the accent. Looking exactly like I described. Then here's where Poopy's personality came through. He told me that there's a toy of his that squeaks, and he especially liked it at the end of his life. And he said he wanted John and Diana to keep the toy and put it with his picture. And he may squeak it for them from time to time. But he also said that he wants to make sure that another dog does not play with it. He said he wants to make sure that you keep it away from the other dog. So John wrote back and he said, "That is so funny because the other dog's name is Charlie, and Poopy did not want Charlie to play with that toy."
Aww.
So
it's like he's still there.
Yeah, he's still there. So he can date the same exact feelings that he's doing in his life.
Oh my God, I love that. It's so cute and adorable. So my next question for you is, have you ever been, like, out in public with you, your husband, and then even your dog, you can have a nice, wonderful day, and all of a sudden, just something goes off? Like, do you get, I hate to say it, but, like, a spidey sense that someone is in need of a message from a lost pet? Do you feel that, or do they come to you? How does that work?
Not so much with pets when I'm out, but more so with people.
Okay.
I was, one year we were taking a cruise and we were in the Caribbean, and a woman walked by me, and I remember that she sat down like 3 or 4 tables away just to have her lunch, and her uncle came to me and told me that he wanted to let her know that he's around. Now, I didn't know it was her uncle. It was a man, and he said his name's John, and he showed me a leather-bound book, and he showed me ivy growing up the side of a wall to give me hints of who he was, and told me that she was special. So, you know, of course, I'm sitting there having lunch with my husband, and I'm going, what in the world is this? So I told my husband Tom, I said, this guy is here in spirit, and he wants me to tell this woman that I don't know that he's here and he's around her. And so Tom said, wait till we finish lunch and then go over and tell her so you can, like, make a quick exit. So I did. I went over to her and I introduced myself and I said, I know you're probably going to think I'm crazy, but this is a message for you. It's from this person. I don't know who he is. And she said, oh, that's my uncle. He was a lawyer. He went to an Ivy League school, which explained the ivy growing up the side of a wall. The book was something special to him. So I shared the message. But as a medium, though, Will, you need to be careful about who you share messages with, whether it's about a pet or a person.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is because not everybody believes that mediums are talking directly to spirit. Some religions believe that mediums talk to the devil, if you will, which is sad. I went to a wake quite a few years ago. My husband's school teacher passed, and the man who passed away was right there in the funeral home, and he kept giving me messages and poking me and, you know, acting funny and acting like a joker. And what I was able to confirm that that's his personality, and I was going to tell his wife that, you know, he's still very much here, and I was warned not to do that because they were very religiously conservative, and they would throw me out and make a scene telling me that I was speaking from the devil or whatever. So you have to be careful.
And I believe that. I believe that, too, because the way I see it, it's all in the eye of the beholder.
Absolutely. Yep. So, but that's, you know, everybody really wants to get a message from their pet. And I think it's easier to get messages from pets sometimes because they, you know, they're all they are love. People can be, when I go on paranormal investigations, people who, you know, they maintain their personalities. If you're nasty in life, you're nasty in that. If you're a nice person in life, you're a nice person in that. But pets tend to always be very, very nice, no matter what, on the other side. So one of the other things I wanted to bring up to you was that pets can actually lead us to another pet that looks like them. And when we see another pet that looks like them, that means that we were led to that dog or cat by the dog or cat in spirit. So that's just another cool way to know that your pet is wrong.
You know that, I believe that because I was little growing up and we had a beautiful little, I wanted to call it a little tiger kitten. And unfortunately, it got mauled because of a greyhound, you know, one of the big greyhound dogs. But years later, we came across some other kittens, and I swear the cat looked identical to the one that I had lost. And we connected. And I got to have it for a little while, and then we moved, and then we won't, you know, things happen. But I understand where you're coming from, so I definitely believe everything that you're telling me, because I definitely have that connection that I had lost one pet only to find it somehow renew in another kid, and I'm like, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool how that they will lead us to another pet. And that actually happened to me when I went to a pet expo up in New England several years ago, and I actually wrote about this and put a picture of the dog that was led that the owner was led to in the book. Mm-hmm. A woman came to my table at the expo, and she was very distraught. She said that her black French bulldog, I think named Basil, had passed and a year before, and she didn't get a message from him, and she was very distraught. She would do anything for a message from him, and so I was able to connect to him, and Basil said, I will give my mom a message in the next 15 minutes. I'm like, okay. So the woman continued to stand near my table and talking to other pet parents, and sure enough, down the aisle came a black French bulldog that looked like her dog. And it was the only black French bulldog in the entire pet expo that day. So I said, there you go. This is a sign from your dog.
Aww.
She was amazed.
I love that. I love that. All right, I'm ready to stomp you. Are you ready?
Sure.
Out of your experiences of us sharing messages for other people with their pets, out of all of them, what would say would be the most unique name of a pet that you've ever heard, next to the one that you mentioned just earlier? I love to surprise you.
Yeah, that's a good surprise. There are so many interesting names. I guess one cat that I kept I wrote about was Mr. D, and he was known as Diablo, which means the devil in Spanish.
Right.
So I thought that was kind of a funny name. They called him that because he was a black cat.
Oh.
He came around at night. And his pet parents actually shared a story with me about all the things that he did. They had some kind of a charm, a cat charm, and he rearranged, it was a picture frame, and he rearranged something, a solid metal ring that came out of the mouth of this picture frame. One day they came home, and there was, in the picture frame, the cat had, there was a metal ring that was attached to the cat's mouth and brain. And on the other side of the ring, there was another ring attached to it, which had a little fish. But when she came home, she found the fish sitting on the floor by itself. And she knew that her cat had moved, had separated that frame from that fish. I may not be explaining this correctly, but she knew it was her cat because her cat used to play with stuff in the house like that.
Oh, so, that just touches your heart.
Yeah, they're just amazing things. There's another story that I wrote about where a Greek named Cleo helped save the life of his pet parent. This gentleman in New York said he had kind of lapsed into like a comatose state. Yeah. And when he was in that comatose state, he felt his dog, who had passed away years before, this giant dog, licking his face. And then he woke up to find his wife standing over him, trying to shake him. And apparently he had some kind of seizure, but his dog came back in spirit and was licking his face to revive him. And that was pretty amazing. And that's the reason he woke up, and he found his wife shaking him, telling him that they needed to get to the hospital. So this dog saved his life in spirit.
Oh, wow. That's a miracle.
Yeah, it's amazing. So the other things that I write about so that people can look for is are simple things, like you might see a paw print on a window, or this one woman wrote me and she told me that she had done her laundry, and she pulled out a shirt out of her drawer, and on the shirt there was a paw print, and she knew it was her dog. Her dog's name was Tenshi, I think, T-E-N-S-H-I.
Mm-hmm.
And that means angel in Japanese, by the way. Tenshi.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. I like that. I always like to learn these interesting tidbits. That's amazing. I like that.
Yep.
Do you write a journal to keep up with your amazing cases and discoveries that you've done over the years, or is it too much to keep up with in a journal?
It is too much to keep up with. I actually just whenever I email somebody with a message and they send me a confirmation, sometimes I'll ask them if they would be okay with me using their story in an upcoming book. So I do it that way.
Oh, wow. That's smart. I like that. That's some little smart thinking there.
Well, you have to do it as you get it. So one of the other ways that I didn't mention yet that people can look for signs from their pets on the other side is that spirits can manipulate things in nature. And what that means is birds, butterflies, dragonflies, anything that behaves erratically. So it doesn't mean that every time you see a butterfly, that's a sign from spirit. That's not how it works. If you see a butterfly behaving oddly, for instance, and you're thinking about your pet who passed, or if you see the odd behavior of a bird on the anniversary of the date your pet passed or the anniversary of your pet's birthday or adoption date, that may be a sign. You know, somebody wrote to me and being very critical and saying, well, I saw a butterfly today, so my grandmother says hello. And I said, no, that's not how it works.
Oh, my God. That's so mean. People can be so cruel.
And they wrote me and they said, well, you know, you're just trying to take advantage of people. I'm like, how am I taking advantage of people when I don't charge anything? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, doubters or not, I can tell everybody right now that I'm definitely a believer in you, and I've definitely enjoy just continuing to live vicariously through some of these adventures that you're sharing, because I'm very visual, so when you're mentioning all of these things, even if it's just from your book, I can see it in my mind's eye, just the visionary of it, and I love that. So I'm sorry that there are people out there that are kind of cruel like that, but I'm sure that in some point you have to have that thick skin, right, to deal with someone like that. It's kind of like, damn if you do, damn if you don't.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's kind of the way the world is, right? I mean, it's like me being a podcaster. Yeah, I report a lot of stuff as a journalist. I just recently had to report some the latest news, you know, that's going on in the world. And don't get me wrong, there'll be some people that appreciate it. There's be some that's like, oh, how do you know? Did you make it up? And I'm like, oh my gosh. But that's all it is. It's just people want to just, there's people out there that just seem like they just want to be the instigators and they just literally want to debate.
That's true. So surround yourself with positive people. That's my rule of the day.
I love that. I've enjoyed having you, and I'm going to be taking a break in March, but I will be back in time for the summer. So if you're not busy around the summer, maybe you can come back. Are you going to be working on any new projects, any new books? What's going on with that?
Well, gosh, I'm actually working on three books at the same time. I have Pet in the Afterlife 3 that I'm working on. I've got The Ghosts of Ireland and Scotland that I'm working on, and another Lessons Learned from Talking to the Dead book in the works.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, before I let you go, I got to ask real quick. If you were to make a movie on your books, who in Hollywood would you want to portray you as you?
That's a good question. Well, people say that I resemble Bradley Cooper, so I guess it would have to be him.
Oh my God, I agree. Bradley Cooper, I was just thinking that the other day, because I love what your hair, you know, you have it a certain way, and I'm like, you know what, I remind me of Bradley Cooper, because I liked him on that movie, A Star is Born, and when he was on there, it reminded me of you.
Josh, well, I'm flattered. He's much younger than I am.
Okay, but you're both cute, so you get that cute factor going on.
Oh, you're sweet. Thank you, Willie.
I always enjoy having you, and I look forward to reading more of your books, and just keep us updated. Can you tell our listeners where they can find you as far as your website, maybe, and your Instagram, right, or Facebook?
Yeah, I've got all of that stuff. Sure, I'd be happy to. My website, all they have to do is type in petspirits.com. That's probably the easiest. Or okay. Rob Guttrow, RobGuttrow.com. Facebook, you can put Rob Guttrow, author, medium. That'll get you to me. Instagram is RobGuttrow_author. And Twitter is GhostMediumBook. But everything's on Amazon.com. You can read it on Kindle or paperback. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's why I thought I'd have you say it, because nothing against the listeners, but I know there's some people that just rather listen to it instead of, like, read it. And it's easier for you to do it, which is great. But don't worry, listeners, I will have it on my Publications Magazine again for y'all. I'll have the website and all his information for you one more time. It's been a pleasure having you. I wish you the best in your success in your writing and the rest of your the journeys that still are far ahead. And give that beautiful dog of yours a hug for me. I just adore seeing those pictures.
Thank you, Willie. It's always a pleasure to to join you. I so love spending time with you. So.
Yeah, it's great. All right, tell your husband I say hi.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, so we had so much fun with that. All right, well, now I'm happy to promote an awesome app I've got to tell you about. Don't forget to check out Shipt in your Google Play Store. Shipt delivers groceries from certain various stores in your area, like HEB. By using their app or website, just scroll down the aisles to order your produce, fresh meat, and more. Give them a try and tell them that Willie sent you. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening, and I will see you on the flip side.
To cry. The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.